day two of our in-depth pre-election coverage of politics and marriage. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into this special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, we heard a portion of the opening day address at NBAA in Orlando from Mary Madeline and James Carville. In part one, we heard mostly from Mary. Today, in the interest of equal time, we'll hear from James. But not until after Mary's sincere and flattering introduction of her husband.
He is a genius. He's won all kinds of races, you know, writes lots of books. What else? He was a Marine. He was a corporal. That made him the highest-ranking military official in the Clinton administration. He was a lawyer. He woke up one day and said, if I had to hire a lawyer, he wouldn't hire me. And it's a good thing he does know how to run and win races, because this is a man whose academic background included 11 years undergraduate study at LSU. Though he did obtain a 4.0 on graduation day, which I'm telling my daughters until they're old enough to find out for themselves, that was his blood alcohol level. My husband, a genius.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's hard to be married to someone that smart, because you never get the last word, and I wouldn't know what the last word felt like. We were leaving the house last night, and we had to hurry up and get somewhere, and I have a little 10-year-old daughter, and, you know, and we've got to be on time, and I was trying to say, come on, let's go, and we're having this sort of mom-daughter separation anxiety, and don't forget your homework, and bring this to school, and don't forget to do that, and this is this fold, and I said, look, we just got to leave. And she just kept looking at me, and so I was just kind of literally pulling her out the door. And she looks at my little girl, and she says, now, honey, remember, Mommy wants you to be good. And my little daughter, showing some unfortunate early Republican tendencies, looks back and says, Mommy, I'll be good if you give me a dollar. To which my wife looks back at it and says, well, why can't you just be good for nothing like your daddy? And, you know, I tell you, I'll say something. This kind of guy's a little down now, so I thought I'd kind of say something nice about current President Bush, because, you know, when he first met the new French president at his daddy's place in Kennebunkport, and he'd kind of had enough of the French, and I can say this because I'm French, we can be a little annoying from time to time. And he looked right at Sarkozy, and he says, you know, the problem with you French is you don't have a word for entrepreneur. And, which, Roberta, it reminds me of that other great Republican linguist, Dan Quayle, who Danny one time went down, it's a true story, went down to Venezuela and gave a speech to the Caracas Chamber of Commerce where he proclaimed that he loved Latin America and he loved the people of Latin America, and his great regret in life was that he never learned to speak Latin. And big news on the campaign trail is the Clintons are going to go out and campaign for Obama, and they got their assignments. Hillary's going to go after the woman's vote, and Bill's going to go after the other woman's vote. This is a great industry. I like the way that you have real reverence for history and the Wright brothers in 1903, and of course we all know the story about how that inspired a then young John McCain to get into aviation. You know, all the jokes about the way I look. I admit I'm probably not the most attractive speaker that you've ever had. But, you know, you get used to it and you toughen up because it started out with the description of my character in the novel Primary Colors, which was that I looked as though I was sired out of a love scene in the film Deliverance. So you're kind of compelled to be good-natured about all of this stuff. But, you know, when we look back and we talk about this presidential campaign, We tend to use words like historic, it's trend-setting, record-setting, unbelievable. It's none of those things. It is incomprehensible. There's so much history being made in this cycle that there's nothing close to it that has ever happened in American presidential political history, ever. Let me give you some examples of some things I'm talking about. If you think about this field, the original field contained the following: the first credible woman to run for president, the first credible African-American, the first Italian-American, the first Hispanic-American. We've had people run for president, been married twice before, the first one, first time had a candidate, been married three times, the first credible Mormon. As I point out to all my Republican friends, that a big candidate you started out with, Fred Thompson, Giuliani, Romney, and McCain, the only one with one wife was the Mormon. If you just think of the other just staggering pieces of history that come through here, in addition to that, we've had the amount of money that's been raised in this cycle is no precedent, no even sense in talking about it compared. Obama raised $66 million in 1 month, probably up to 3.5-4 million contributors now. The television ratings, the Republican convention was the most watched political event in American history, most watched convention. You look at the TV ratings, 10 million people watched the 23rd Democratic debate. Turnout's not up 5-10% in the primaries, up 50-60-70%. We will definitely elect the first senator that we from the Senate for president since any time since 1960. We're either going for the first time in our history elect an African American president or a president for the first time that is over 70. This field, original field, contained three cancer survivors, which is, you know, if you think about it, just think of all the people in America. It really did all of a sudden start reflecting. I believe, and somebody will have to correct me if I'm wrong, that McCain is the third pilot to be nominated office president of the United States. I think McGovern, Bush won, and McCain, but I was just doing the math there, so if somebody has something to add to that, come up to me after the speech. History continues to be made in about every way that you can. If you just you stop and you think of the confluence of historical events that are taking place in this cycle, think for 1 minute with me. When is the last time that we had a presidential election that did not have a sitting president or vice president on the ballot, running for president? Now, you might say 1952. Notice I used the word running. Alvin Barkley was actually running, and he died in the middle of the race. You'd have to go back to 1928. Herbert Hoover was elected. That's an 80-year event. And that's important because that gives context. You can say you were there, you know what I mean? You can attack the policy, defend the policy, gives context to the race. Another interesting thing about this cycle, particularly in the Republican Party, which is quite a story in itself, the last time, you know, the last year that the Republicans had a successful presidential cycle that did not have a Nixon or a Bush on the ticket? 1928. It's the last time that we had an election that the Republicans were successful without a Nixon or a Bush on the ticket. If we think of the events that are taking place and in the speed in which they're taking place, we tend to think of history as having a long arc, if you will, of things happen and incrementally and build up. We don't have, this has been a week. A week ago, the quote, bailout package, or whatever we want to call it, failed, and the Dow went down 778 points. Now think of everything that has just happened in that week. Think of everything that's happened in the last month, from the Russian invasion of Georgia to everything else. And somehow or another, we have a tendency to think, well, on election day, the one thing we know about election day is not going to look like today. I can't tell you all of the things that are going to happen in the next month. We're October 5th to November 4th, right out of month. But boy, you know big things are going to happen, because there's always not the possibility, the almost certainty that extraneous events come in. Now, my overall point here is that the indications a month out favor Obama in a normal cycle. I would be much more willing to tell you with some confidence that was a trend and he was going to win, but this is not anything close to normal times in American politics. And I promise you that there's more stuff coming over the transom. I can't promise you who will handle it better or how it'll affect the race. And by the way, if you're John McCain, you understand that. You're waiting for extraneous events to come in.
We'll hear James Carville on aviation and marriage and some Q&A after the following brief extraneous event. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today, we're hearing a portion of James Carville's analysis of politics and married life with Mary Madeline. So, what does all this have to do with aviation? Hold on, we're getting there.
One thing about people in aviation, and I kind of fly around and obviously fly a lot commercially, fly a lot in business aviation, and have been doing it for a long, long time. And the thing I've always noticed about your industry is people that are in it really like it. And I remember when I was like in Baton Rouge, and they'd have these guys, I used to call them hangar rats. They'd just sit out at the airport, and you know what I mean, looking and talking about what plane landed and stuff like that. And they were like young guys, and that kind of enthusiasm never really leaves people in this industry. And there's a real sort of stop, and you ask a pilot or somebody in aviation a question, you ask them what time it is, and they won't tell you the time. They won't tell you how to make a watch. They'll tell you how to build a Swiss village. You know, they'll take you around the plane and show you everything. And that's a reflection of people that do this, that this is something they really like to do. As odd as it seems, it's the same way in the political business. Those of us that have done it, we really love it. And people always ask me about how I could be married to my wife who thinks so differently than I do. And the truth of the matter is, much easier to me to be married to someone who thinks differently and passionately than has no passion or doesn't think. A lot of potential weather between here and the time that we land the sucker on November the 4th. There's going to be a lot of air traffic control delays. There's going to be, it might be an engine failure or two along the way. So we're just going to have to see. This is not going to be a routine flight, I promise you. But there's a lot to be fascinated about. This is clearly a challenging time in American history. Somebody said the other night, says, well, our economy is entering a new chapter. Or that would be chapter 11. But I really do want to thank you guys for having us back. Any time that you get to speak to a group like this, it's an honor. But to be invited back is a double honor. And to sit here and watch the sort of reverence that you have for the pioneers in your industry and the people that have done great things is refreshing. And we appreciate it. We're glad to take any questions.
Another talent, honey, the tortured metaphor.
What was the tortured metaphor?
Air traffic control, weather delays, bum engine, we get it. Okay. Is there mics out there?
I had a delay on a commercial flight. I thought I've seen everything, but I guess it's all aviation people who say that somebody got air sickness. And the plane literally smelled so bad that the pilot was scared to take off. And we literally sat there for 45 minutes, and he discovered that the people that cleaned the airplane didn't take the bag out. That was the first barf delay I've ever seen in commercial aviation.
Ask a question quick. Like, which would be better for your industry? Let me answer that by saying this. You better just take care of your industry yourself and not worry about the top of the ticket, because what these guys are going to do, whoever gets elected, is spend the first 6 months trying to figure out what they're going to do about the last six. And the notion that they're all of a sudden lobbyists are going to be gone and it's all going to be reformed is, and it shouldn't be like that anyways. The founders divined that we should have a system petitionable by people want to be represented. So just keep doing what you're doing. You have a presence on the Hill, and the Congress is going to make a big difference, because and that's where you need to make your pitch at the for the moment. So I can sustain this, your studied neutrality here, but I say that knowing what's going to the transition looks like in general, and what this one is going to look like specifically, because no matter who comes in, there's not going to be any holdovers.
Yeah, not knowing the intricacies of the industry, unless you come up with another way to power these airplanes other than filling up with fuel, the candidate that's most likely to get fuel prices down would probably be enormously beneficial to your issue. To your business, and until and unless people start paying cash as opposed to buying airplanes on credit, the person that can unfreeze these credit lines and allow people to start buying new planes and renovating planes and buying old planes is probably going to be most beneficial. But off the top of my head, the two things that would probably be most helpful to you would be cheaper fuel and easier credit.
With the government based on checks and balances, three branches, with the polarization and the dividing of the two parties, who or what could bring us and unite us to be the America that we used to be?
We get this question a lot. We understand its origin. But the notion that this is a country that has not been divided, this is kind of the polls. We have differences. We have debates. It has been ever thus. Our founders fought like cats and dogs. It took 11 years to get the Constitution together. This feels worse to us because of the times in which we live and our recent experience with pulling together, and because we live in this information age paradigm, which magnifies the incivility. It makes it louder and more fingernails on a blackboard. But what unites us are when we see an open response to a real problem, like energy. I've never seen an issue flip as fast as energy did, domestic production and expanding our capacity here. That like floated along like the earth was melting for a decade, and now all of a sudden we're drill, baby, drill. So we come together because when we have a practical solution for something.
Yeah, I think people are going to, given the magnitude and next president, one of the questions that they ask that I think that has not gotten answered well, and it's always asked, is given the situation that we're in, what are your promises are you willing to delay? And you know that that's going to have to happen. I mean, we know they're not going to be able to do everything they want to, just given the depth of it. And I think that one of the most important jobs of the next president is going to be to convince the American people that the course that they own is a course that can work, because as they say, failure is really not an option here. And so and hopefully the next president will have the kind of communication skills, if you will, to sort of bring the country along to do some pretty tough things. And that seems to be what's going to be out there for the next, year and a half or so. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Well, how about that? He got the last word. NBAA officially winds down this evening, but through the miracle of modern magnetics, we'll bring you more audio highlights from the event over the next week. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.